Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
Welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adablu talking with George Pfeiffer, the head coach for the Montana State Billings men's basketball team, coming up with a split on the road. Boy, we've talked about that a lot this year. That's three consecutive road trips in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference when you ended up with splits. You end up losing to St. Martin's, getting a season split with them, losing on February 11th, then come back with score-wise, your best offensive performance of the year against Western Oregon. Talk about the games. I mean, I know you go down there, you want to win both of them. In general, just kind of grade the team, if you will. How all in all did they play?
Well, offensively, I think, Western Oregon's game, obviously, an A. You shoot 15 for 26 from behind the arc and close to 60% for the game. I think we had, something like six or eight turnovers in the game on Saturday night, so we were really efficient there, shot the ball well from the free throw line. We outscored them. That's what we did. In the St. Martin's game, we had a couple lapses offensively and some lapses defensively, and you just can't do that when you play on the road. But, I thought our mindset was there. I thought we were trying to do the things we wanted to do. St. Martin's is a team that doesn't shoot, statistically, I think they're shooting 26% from behind the arc. And they're like 7 for 11 from behind the arc in the first half, or 7 for 16 or something like that. And Squires comes out, and yeah, that's what it was. Squires comes out and went and goes 6 for 11. He was shooting pull-up, dribble-up three-pointers and stuff like that. So they made plays, and we didn't make enough of them.
Yeah, St. Martin's, we saw them down here. Good basketball team. That was a good game here for a while. You were able to pull over at the end, so I think we all knew that that would be certainly a tougher game on the road. Let me ask you about that, though. A guy like that comes out real, real hot early on in the game. You were talking about Squires hitting threes. We talked about you go in with a game plan to start the game and everything, and obviously you have to make adjustments. What happens from a coach's standpoint when a guy gets that hot? And obviously, I would suspect that all of a sudden said, okay, we better probably get out on that guy. Was it just an inability early to make that adjustment, or did he just manage to make some shots with people in his face?
Well, I thought he made some shots, too. I mean, we're not going to take anything away from his performance. In the zone, during the game, it was one of those things, we've alluded to it before, where you watch the game, and then you come back and you see the videotape, and he shot balls with hands in his face, and he made them. Like I say, he came, dribbled into it. Our strategy was like it was at our place, was to zone him as much as we possibly could, and we tried not to panic when they were knocking those early threes down, because sometimes that you're kind of playing the percentages, and so they hit a couple threes, you don't just, oh my gosh, we got to get out of that zone. They did that at our place, and we stayed with it, and it was the right play. So we tried not to panic. It became kind of a two-edged sword, because when we got back out of the zone, we had trouble containing Poole. He got in deep on us sometimes, and we got to the free throw line an awful lot in that ball game. And so when we kind of got bit in both ways. Squires ends up at 26, and Poole ends up at 28. Yet on the other side of the coin, I thought we got the shots. I looked at the tape. I thought we got the shots we wanted to take, and the opportunities that we had. To score the ball, I was really, really pleased with. And I got to tell you, I was pleased with the fact that that was a disappointing loss for us, and we came back the next night and didn't let it affect us, and tied up our shoestrings and went out and played.
I want to talk about that Western Oregon game. Of all the games that I haven't seen this year, that's a game I would have loved to see. I love a lot of scoring, frankly, and I love the threes. We'll talk about that on the second part of the Coach's Show with George Pfeiffer.
Are you ready to get amped? AMP helps athletes get in the game and stay there. Our performance programs build strength, speed, and endurance. And if injuries do occur, our sports docs, the best in the region, are there to help athletes heal, regain their strength, and get back on the field. AMP, athletic, medicine, and performance. Check us out at ampmontana.com. AMP is a proud supporter of the Yellow Jackets.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adablu talking with George Pfeiffer, the head basketball coach for the men's basketball team here at Montana State Billings. We've talked about the loss at St. Martin's on Thursday. You come back on Saturday, get into triple digits against Western Oregon. I think he hit, 15 threes, just an absolutely remarkable performance on that. Chambers goes wild, and he was just one of the guys that went wild for you. From an offensive standpoint, I want to talk to you about the Trey a little bit. I think since I've been watching, since I started watching basketball, I can't think of anything, showing my age here, but I can remember when they didn't have a three-point shot in college basketball. I can't think of anything that's changed the game more than the three-point shot. And it seems, and particularly as of late, that has become a real integral part of your offense. Was that just part of the maturation process of this team, or was it something that is a pleasant surprise to you? Is it something you've always wanted? I mean, how has that kind of come about? Because particularly as of late, it seems like that's been a real important part of your offense.
Well, it's an important part of our recruiting.
Sure.
You just came in before we started this meeting, and we were talking, Coach Wetzel and I were talking about players and recruiting, and I got to tell you, one of the first things we want to know is, can this guy shoot the basketball? Because I think it limits you if you can't shoot the basketball away. Now, you have to have some athleticism, and you have to have some height and size and all that kind of stuff, but making shots is, we spend 25 minutes a day on shooting. I mean, old coaches have told me that's the most important thing, and I'm really starting to believe it. So as I've gotten older, we've spent more time on shooting. Western Oregon zoned us. They zoned us for all but about four or five possessions. I thought our guys did a really good job of moving the basketball, getting themselves in positions on the floor where they could shoot it. We take a look at DeAndre 7-for-9 from behind the arc, and Losh is 5-for-8 behind the arc. But, we got the ball inside too. Brad Hodge was 8-for-10. He got shots right next to the basket. And so when you start to make outside shots and or make inside shots, it really helps the other facet of the game. And when we have both of those things going on, which we have not had all year, we had in that game, positive things are going to happen. And so I was disappointed with our defensive play. I can't lie about that. I thought we could have played with a little bit more moxie defensively, and we talked about that at halftime. And I think for the most part, we did come back out in the second half, and I wouldn't say it was a stellar defensive performance, but we were able to get some stops when they were important. And when we got those stops, we were able to run out with them. So I don't know how exciting a game it was for me. I know that several of my friends who live over in that area came over and watched the game, and they, great college basketball game, fun game to watch. I'm thinking, okay, that was, if I was sitting in the stands, I might be saying the same thing, but I'm sitting closer to the court. So, but I was really happy for our players. That was a really important win for our program.
It's interesting, though. You bring up an interesting point, and because I fall into this category. I see somebody go into a zone defense, and I say, okay, we're going to have to start hitting some outside shots, and that is an important part to break in a zone. But sometimes I think there's a tendency to maybe forget about that inside game. Talk about that strategy a little bit, because I think most people look at a zone buster as a team that can hit outside shots, but it is important still to try and get that ball inside, despite the fact that they're packing in a little bit or what have you.
Yeah, I think it's important to put the ball on the deck too. You got to be able to bounce the ball at it. The strength of the zone is it can create a wall, and if you don't hit outside shots, that wall can be pretty hard to crawl over the top of, because you can move and sink that wall back. If you're hitting outside shots, you got to extend that zone defense out. And so the old adage is when they're collapsed in, kick out, and when they're extended out, go in. I thought our guys did a really good job of sharing the basketball. Obviously, they made shots. When you make shots, everything seems magical. But we did get the ball. We did get the ball early on inside, and Brad did some good work. Derek had several assists to that effect. So did DeVell. And then the other thing you try to do, you try and stretch the zone, you try to distort the zone, and you try to create mismatches with the zone. You try and put guards on bigs and bigs on guards. As much as you possibly can, because a zone is just a switching man-to-man if it's a good zone. But the bottom line is we hit shots. Heck, they hit shots. I mean, they shot 64% in the first half, and we're up 49-44. It wasn't like they were, it wasn't like we were just out scoring them and they couldn't make baskets. I mean, everybody on their team was making a bucket too. So there wasn't very many possessions where you went down the floor and the other team didn't come away with some type of points.
Well, let me be the buzzkill now. Let's talk about defensively. And you know, obviously, offensively, things going pretty well for you. What is the issue right now defensively? Because we've seen this team play some great moments of defense this year, and that has been a little bit of an issue of late. Is it a technical issue? Is it a sort of emotional, physical issue? What's going on right now with the defense that's causing some concerns for you?
Well, I think there's lots of little teeny ingredients in it. I mean, we need to get all five guys on the same page. I think it's mental. I really do. I think it's a an inner gut check thing. I think the strategies and the plans are correct. We've had really simple plans. We've had more complicated plans and everything else in between. But at the end of the day, you got to stay in front of your guy. You got to get a block out. And you have to fly around. You can't stand. You have to be in a fly around type of a mode where you're in a stance and you're moving. Sometimes I think we don't do that as well as we possibly could. I really believe how we defend will be how far we get to go this year. And so we still have a lot of work to do. And it's not like yesterday in practice, the first hour and 15 minutes, that's what we did. I mean, we shot, and then we worked on, fundamental defense for the majority of the time, pick on balls, post defense, all those types of things. It's not like we're not paying attention to it, but we just have to see some carryover and some conviction and commitment by our players. Because they know, it's not like they don't know. It's not like they haven't been told that's going to be the key ingredient for us as we try to move ahead, this four-game stand that we have coming up.
We've got a couple of real entertaining games this weekend. Two teams I'm really excited to see play against the Jackets, Northwest Nazarene and Seattle Pacific. We'll talk about that on the third part of the Coach's Show with George Pfeiffer.
Everybody knows that an MVP is a most valuable player. How about the MVB, most valuable bank? Well, it's Montana-owned and offers you real people service. Local decisions, flexible terms, straight talk, and a quick turnaround. No matter what you're looking for, from a free checking account to an ag operating loan, from Montana's most respected commercial lenders to a home mortgage, you'll find your MVB right here. Stockman Bank, serving Montanans for over 50 years and now in 19 locations statewide. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adeblue talking with George Pfeiffer. Still looking to move above 500 in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. They were there earlier this season, and kind of a give and take since that moment. But a good chance this weekend. You got Northwest Nazarene, a team that you beat on the road. Conversely, you'll be taking on Seattle Pacific on Saturday after that Northwest Nazarene game on Thursday. A team that you gave a great game down in Seattle, but came out just a little bit short on that. Again, obviously, two very, very talented teams coming to Alterowitz.
Well, Nazarene, they're big. They're shooting like 40-some percent from behind the arc. They really push the basketball at you. They have all the ingredients. Drew Esinger is, a spectacular guard who can score it so many different ways. The ball's on a string for him. Glico and Barkall, those two big boys inside are just, they're mammoth. And they do a great job of sitting on you and a great job of finishing around the cup and a great job of rebounding. And then they have, plenty of guards that come off the bench. Golding's their second leading scorer coming off the bench. I mean, he can really shoot it. Louis Beach, senior, he can really shoot it. So, I mean, they've got all the ingredients. It's a hard game for me because I'm really close with Hilsey. Coach Hills and I go back way, way, way back into the 80s. And so, it's kind of like we've come full circle. And so I really admire him and the job that he does at Northwest Nazarene. And these kids are always well prepared and they're always in the right place at the right time. And so that game will be just, we'll have to play really well to find success. And then we're going to bring in a team that was, last week ranked 15th in the country in Seattle Pacific. And those boys, their guards are so skilled. I mean, they can break you down with a dribble. You make any type of error, you pay. They share the ball really, really well. They play good, solid man-to-man defense. They race up and down the floor. They are a really good team, and they're really experienced. I mean, they got everybody back off of a team that was a game away from being in the Elite Eight last year. Yeah, we definitely have our work cut out for us this weekend.
Seattle Pacific is a program, and it's amazing when you talk to people in the Billings area that are Yellow Jacket fans. I don't really understand because I don't know the history there, but everybody wants to beat SPU. I think a lot of it is just because they've had such a great reputation. But obviously, a win over SPU following a win over Northwest Nazarene would not only be a big thing this year, would probably be a pretty big step for the program. Is that fair to say?
Well, you know, we've had success with Nazarene before. You know, the SPU game, you know, they're definitely, you know, you talk about are they in your tax bracket or out of your tax bracket. Well, you want to be in that tax bracket. And so to be in that tax bracket, you have to win games in that tax bracket. So I know that in the past, and I think where the rivalry comes from, you know, I think in the past, in the old PacWest days, they played all the time. And so when we moved into the GNAC, you know, teams like Seattle Pacific and Alaska Anchorage, those are teams that this program has played, you know, numerous years. And again, the fact that Seattle Pacific's a, you know, really good basketball program that has really good players and really experienced players, you know, it makes it a really difficult challenge. But I would like to think our guys are going to be excited for both games this coming weekend and are going to come out and play as hard as they possibly can and perform at the best of their abilities.
All right, and looking forward to it. That's coming up Thursday at 7 o'clock against Northwest Nazarene. Then they'll be back in action, part of a doubleheader with the women's program. The men will play at 7:30 against Seattle Pacific. George Pfeiffer, congratulations on the nice win over Western Oregon. Looking forward to the games this week.
Thank you so much.
And again, that's part of a four-game stretch at home before they finish off the season with two games on the road. For George Pfeiffer and the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, this is Canada Blue. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.